Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, join in. Join in. We are live with day 34. It says that right on the bottom of my screen because I'll forget. Day 34 of our Bible in 90 days, where we are doing what? Reading the entire Bible in 90 days, which is amazing. It's been life-changing. Hopefully it's been life-changing for you. And we're still in the old covenant. We're not even in the good stuff yet. I mean, this is good, but this is old covenant. The Bible says that the new covenant is so much better and that the old covenant was basically just bad compared to the new covenant. So we're not even in the new covenant yet. It's already life-changing. It's going to get even better as we go. So welcome to the broadcast. We're on time. Day 34 of being on time. Call me old reliable. All right. We're on time again. What is this? Punctuality. Is that what it's called? In real life, I'm very punctual. I hate being late. I get anxiety if I'm late. So be on time. Don't be a frosted flake. If you're going to show up, say you're going to show up at a time, show up at that time. Or anyways, I'm just off on a tangent. We are in 2 Chronicles, which is on the screen. That green box is where we are. 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, verse 1. Let's load in, share the broadcast. Thank you for listening from work. I appreciate every single one of you. You guys are all awesome. God bless you, Preaching Jesus Ministry. God bless you all. You guys are awesome. I'm trying to be too distracted by the chat, but we're going to go here. All right, let's get comfortable. Got my water here. We are going. Let's do this. Let's do this. Are we ready? Is everybody ready? Is everybody buckled up? It's going to be, you know, lots of good stuff here. All right, here we go. Chapter 24, Joash repairs the temple. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years. His mother was Zibiah from Beersheba. Joash did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight throughout the lifetime of Jehoiada. Ah, the names! Jehoiada, the priest. That's what we almost named our third daughter, Jehoiada, the priest. Jehoiada chose two wives for Joash. We're just going to call him Jay. Two wives for Joash, and he had some sons and daughters. At one point, Joash decided to repair and restore the temple of the Lord, and he summoned the priests and Levites and gave them these instructions. Go to all the towns of Judah and collect the required annual offerings so that we can repair the temple of your God. Do not delay. But the Levites did not act immediately. So the king called for Jehoiada, the high priest, and asked him, "Why haven't you demanded the Levites go out and collect the temple taxes from the towns of Judah and from Jerusalem?" Moses, a servant of the Lord, levied this tax on the community. Levied. I was like, levied? I've never heard that before. Oh, man. Help me, Lord. Levied this tax on the community of Israel. Sorry. That levied thing messed me up here. Levied this tax on the community of Israel in order to maintain the tabernacle of the covenant. Over the years, the followers of wicked Athaliah had broken into the temple of God, and they'd used all the dedicated things from the temple of the Lord to worship the images of Baal. So now the king ordered a chest to be made and put it outside the gate leading to the temple of the Lord. Then a proclamation was sent throughout Judah and Jerusalem telling the people to bring the Lord the tax that Moses, the servant of God, had required of the Israelites in the wilderness. All right. This pleased all the leaders and the people, and they gladly brought their money and filled the chest with it. Whenever the chest became full, the Levites would carry it to the king's officials, then the court secretary and an officer of the high priest would come and empty the chest and take it back to the temple again. This went on day after day, and a large amount of money was collected. Oh, they were collecting money back then? Wow. Some of you don't like that. The king and Jehoiada gave the money to the construction supervisors who hired masons and carpenters to restore the temple of the Lord. They also hired metal workers who made articles of iron and bronze for the Lord's temple. The men in charge of the renovation worked hard and made steady progress. They restored the temple of God according to its original design and strengthened it. When all the repairs were finished, they brought the remaining money to the king and Jehoiada. It was used to make various articles for the temple of the Lord. Articles for worship services, for burnt offerings, including ladles and other articles made of gold and silver, and the burnt offerings were sacrificed continually in the temple of the Lord during the lifetime of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada lived to be a very old age, finally dying at 130. God bless you, Tammy. He was buried among the kings in the city of David because he had done so much in Israel for God and his temple. If you're on Facebook, they've been having issues for the last week, so just come to YouTube. It's better, trust me. But after Jehoiada's death, the leaders of Judah came and bowed before King Joash and persuaded him to listen to their advice. They decided to abandon the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they worshiped Asherah poles and idols instead. Because of this sin, divine anger fell on Judah and Jerusalem. Yet the Lord sent prophets to bring them back to him. The prophets warned them, but the people would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, the priest. I thought Jehoiada was gone. He's still here? We still have to say his name? He stood before the people and said, "This is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's commands and keep yourselves from prospering? You've abandoned the Lord, and now he has abandoned you." Then the leaders plot to kill Zechariah, and King Joash ordered that they stone him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. That's how King Joash repaid Jehoiada for his loyalty, by killing his son. Zechariah's last words as he died were, "May the Lord see what they are doing and avenge my death." I actually really coughed there. I wasn't coughing because he died. I had something in my throat. Frog in my throat. In the spring of the year, the Aramean army marched against Joash. They invaded Judah and Jerusalem and killed all the leaders of the nation. They then sent all the plunder back to their king in Damascus. Although the Arameans attacked with only a small army, the Lord helped them conquer the much larger army of Judah. The people of Judah had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, so judgment was carried out against Joash. The Arameans withdrew, leaving Joash severely wounded, but his own officials plotted to kill him for murdering the son of Jehoiada. We just can't get over this guy. Jehoiada, the priest. Must have been Hispanic. Jehoiada. They assassinated him as he lay in bed. Then he was buried in the city of David and not in the royal cemetery. The assassins were Josachar, the son of an Ammonite woman named Shemeath, and Jehozabad, the son of a Moabite woman named Shomer. The account of the sons of Joash, the prophecies about him, and the record of his restoration of the temple of God are written in the commentary on the book of Kings. His son Amaziah became the next king. Chapter 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Jehoaddan from Jerusalem. Amaziah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, but not wholeheartedly. When Amaziah was well established as king, he executed the officials who had assassinated his father. However, he did not kill the children of the assassins, for he obeyed the command of the Lord as written by Moses in the book of the law. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. Then Amaziah organized the army, assigning generals and captains for all of Judah and Benjamin. He took a census and found that he had an army of 300,000 select troops, 20 years old and older, all trained in the use of spear and shield. He also paid about 7,500 pounds of silver to hire 100,000 experienced fighting men from Israel. But a man of God came to him and said, "Your Majesty, do not hire troops from Israel, for the Lord is not with Israel. He will not help those people of Ephraim. If you let them go with your troops into battle, you'll be defeated by the enemy no matter how well you fight. God will overthrow you, for he has the power to help you or trip you up." Amaziah asked the man of God, "What about all that silver I paid to hire the men of Israel?" The man of God replied, "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." Oh, wow. So Amaziah discharged the hired troops and sent them back to Ephraim. This made them very angry with Judah, and they returned home in a great rage. Then Amaziah summoned his courage and led his army to the Valley of Salt, where they killed 10,000 Edomite troops from Seir. They captured another 10,000 and took them to the top of a cliff and threw them off. Okay. Dashing them to pieces on the rocks below. Meanwhile, the hired troops that Amaziah had sent home raided several towns of Judah between Samaria and Beth-Horon, and they killed 3,000 people and carried off great quantities of plunder. When King Amaziah returned from slaughtering the Edomites, he brought with him idols taken from the people of Seir. He set them up as his own gods and bowed down in front of them and offered sacrifices to them. This made the Lord very angry, and he sent a prophet to ask, "Why did you turn to gods who cannot even save their own people from you?" That's a good word. Preach it, brother. But the king interrupted him and said, "Since when have I made you the king's counselor? Be quiet now before I have you killed. So the prophet stopped with this warning. "I know that God has determined to destroy you because of what you've done, and you've refused to accept my counsel." After consulting with his advisors, King Amaziah of Judah sent this challenge to Israel's Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz and grandson of Jehu. "Come and meet me." Excuse me. Better late than never, Angie. "Come and meet me in battle." But King Jehoash of Israel replied to King Amaziah of Judah with this story. "Out in the Lebanon mountains, a thistle sent a message to a mighty cedar tree. 'Give your daughter in marriage to my son.' But just then, a wild animal of Lebanon came by and stepped on the thistle, crushing it. If you're saying I've defeated Edom and you're very proud of it, but my advice is to stay home, why stir up trouble and only bring disaster on you and the people of Judah?" But Amaziah refused to listen, for God was determined to destroy him for turning to the gods of Edom. So King Jehoash of Israel mobilized his army against King Amaziah of Judah. The two armies drew up their battle lines at Beth Shemesh in Judah. Judah was routed by the army of Israel, and its army scattered and fled home. King Jehoash of Israel captured Judah's king. Amaziah, son of Joash, the grandson of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. And by the way, if you're confused with all these names, join the club. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, where he demolished 600 feet of Jerusalem's wall, from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate. He carried off all the gold and silver and all the articles from the temple of God that had been in care of Obed-Edom. He also seized the treasures of the royal palace, seized, along with hostages, and then returned to Samaria. King Amaziah of Judah lived for 15 years after the death of King Joash of Israel. The rest of the events in Amaziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded in the book of Kings of Judah and Israel. After Amaziah turned away from the Lord, there was a conspiracy against his life in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But his enemies... Hold on, sneeze coming. Bless me. They brought his bodies back on a horse, and they buried his ancestors in the city of David. Chapter 26. Uzziah rules in Judah. All the people of Judah had crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son, Uzziah, as king in place of his father. After his death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Eloth and restored it to Judah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecoliah from Jerusalem. He did what was pleasing the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Uzziah declared war on the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabna, and Ashdod. Then he built new towns in the Ashdod area and in other parts of Philistia. God helped him in wars against the Philistines, his battle with the Arabs of Gur, and his wars with the Munites. Thank you guys for all the God bless yous. The Munites paid annual tribute to him, and his fame spread even to Egypt, for he'd become very powerful. Uzziah built fortified towns in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle in the wall. He also constructed forts in the wilderness and dragged many water cisterns, dug, because he kept great herds of livestock in the foothills of Judah and on the plains. He was also a man who loved the soil. All right, then. He loved the soil. He had many workers who cared for his farms and vineyards, both on the hillsides and in the fertile valleys. Uzziah had an army of well-trained warriors ready to march in battle, unit by unit. This army had been mustered and organized by Jael, the secretary of the army, and his assistant, Masiah. They were under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officials. So many of these names are so similar. If it's frozen, refresh. It's clear on my end. Thank you for saying you look forward to these every day, June. These regiments of mighty warriors were commanded by 2,600 clan leaders. The army consisted of 307,000 men, all elite troops. They were prepared to assist the king against any enemy. Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and sling stones. And he built structures on the walls of Jerusalem, designed by experts to protect those who shot arrows and hurled large stones from the towers and the corners of the wall. His fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help, and he became very powerful. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord his God by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. Azariah the high priest went in after him with 8 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is the work of the priests alone, the descendants of Aaron who are set apart for his work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've sinned. Then the Lord will not honor you for this." Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, became furious as he was standing there raging as the priest before the incense altar in the Lord's temple. Leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the high priest, and all the other priests saw the leprosy, they rushed him out, and the king himself was eager to get, because the Lord had struck him, to get out. So King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. The rest of the events of Uzziah's reign from beginning to end are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors. His grave was in a nearby burial field belonging to the kings, for the people said he had leprosy, and his son Jotham became the next king. And by the way, if you don't know, this is all recapping what we've already read. This is almost word for word what we've read previously. So if you're like, this sounds like what we've already read, and I think it was, what, 2 Kings, 1 Kings? Yeah, Chronicles is the Chronicles of basically 1 and 2 Kings. Chapter 27, Jotham rules in Judah. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Jotham did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and he did everything his father Uzziah had done, except that Jotham did not sin by entering the temple of the Lord. But the people continued in their corrupt ways. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord, and he also did extensive rebuilding on the wall at the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the hill country of Judah and constructed fortresses and towers in the wooded areas. Jotham went to war against the Ammonites and conquered them. Over the next 3 years, he received from them an annual tribute of 7,500 pounds of silver, 50,000 bushels of wheat, and 50,000 bushels of barley. King Jotham became powerful because he was careful to live in obedience to the Lord his God. The rest of the events of Jotham's reign, including all his wars and other activities, so I don't know, other activities, he might have played pickleball, we don't know, we just know it's other activities, who knows what he did, are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. When Jotham died, he was buried in the city of David, and his son Ahaz became the next king, Ahaz. We're just going to call him Ahaz, it's easier. Chapter 28. Is it Ahaz or Ahaz? We're just going to call him Ahaz. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. These people are 16 years old, 17, 18, 20, becoming king. Some of y'all can't even hold a job. Come on now. He did not do what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord as his ancestor David had done. Instead, he followed the example of the kings of Israel. He cast metal images for the worship of Baal. He offered sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, even sacrificing his own sons in the fire. In this way, he followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. Detestable. I don't know why I said detestable like that. It was weird. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the pagan shrines and on the hills and under every green tree. Because of all of this, the Lord his God allowed the king of Aram to defeat Ahaz and to exile large numbers of his people to Damascus. The armies of the king of Israel also defeated Ahaz and inflicted many casualties on his army. In a single day, Pekah, we know Pekah well, Pekah, son of Remaliah, Israel's king, killed 120,000 of Judah's troops, all of them experienced warriors, because they had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Then Zichri, a warrior from Ephraim, killed Messiah, the king's son, Azrikam, the king's palace commander, and Elkanah, the king's second in command. The armies of Israel captured 200,000 women and children from Judah and seized tremendous amounts of plunder, which they took back to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord named Oded was there in Samaria when the army of Israel returned home. He went out to meet them and said, "The Lord, the God of your ancestors, was angry with Judah and let you defeat them. But you've gone too far, killing them without mercy, and all of heaven is disturbed. And now you're planning to make slaves of these people from Judah and Jerusalem? What about your own sins against the Lord your God? Listen to me and return these prisoners you've taken, for they are your own relatives. Watch out, because now the Lord's fierce anger has been turned against you." Then some of the leaders of Israel, Azariah son of Berechiah son of Meshillemoth, Jehezekiah son of Shalem, and Amasa son of Hadlah, agreed with this and confronted the men returning from battle. "You must not bring the prisoners here." Excuse me. My voice is tweaking. They declared, "We cannot afford to add to our sins or guilt. Our guilt is already great, and the Lord's fierce anger is already turned against Israel." So the warriors released the prisoners and handed over the plunder in the sight of the leaders and all the people. Then the four men, just mentioned by name, came forward and distributed clothes from the plunder to the prisoners who were naked. They provided clothing and sandals to give, gave them enough food to drink, and dressed their wounds with olive oil. They put those who were weak on donkeys and took all the prisoners back to their own people in Jericho, the city of palms. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time, King Ahaz of Judah asked the king of Assyria for help. The armies of Edom had again invaded Judah and taken captives, and the Philistines had raided towns located in the foothills of Judah and in the Negev of Judah. They had already captured and occupied Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gaderoth, Soko with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages. The Lord was humbling Judah because of the king Ahaz of Judah, for he had encouraged his people to sin, and he had utterly been unfaithful to the Lord. So when King Tiglath-Pileser, what a name, of Assyria arrived, he attacked Ahaz instead of helping him. Ahaz took valuable items from the Lord's temple, the royal palace, and from the homes of his officials, and gave them to the king of Assyria as tribute. But this did not help him. Even during the time of trouble, King Ahaz continued to reject the Lord. He offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus, who had defeated him, for he said, "Since these gods helped the kings of Aram, they will help me too, if I sacrifice to them." But instead, they led to his ruin and the ruin of all Judah. All right. The king took various articles from the temple of God and broke them into pieces. He shut the doors of the Lord's temple so that no one can worship there, and he set up altars to pagan gods at every corner of Jerusalem. He made pagan shrines in all the towns of Judah for offering sacrifices to other gods. In this way, he aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of his ancestors. The rest of the events of Ahaz's reign and everything he did from beginning to end are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. When Ahaz died, he was buried in Jerusalem, but not in the royal cemetery of the kings of Judah. Then his son Hezekiah became the next king. Chapter 29. Hezekiah rules in Judah. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became the king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. In the very first month of the first year of his reign, Hezekiah reopened the doors of the temple and repaired them. He summoned the priests and Levites to meet him at the courtyard east of the temple. He said to them, "Listen to me, you Levites. Purify yourselves and purify the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove all the defiled things from the sanctuary. Our ancestors were unfaithful and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They abandoned the Lord and his dwelling place. They turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the temple's entry room, and they snuffed out the lamps. They stopped burning incense and presenting burnt offerings on the sanctuary of the God of Israel. That is why the Lord's anger has fallen upon Judah and Jerusalem. He made them an object of dread, horror, and ridicule, as you can see with your own eyes. Because of this, our fathers have been killed in battle, and our sons and daughters and wives have been captured. But now I'll make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger will turn away from us. My sons, do not neglect your duties any longer. The Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him, and to lead the people in worship and present offerings to him." Then the Levites got right to work. From the clan of Kohath, we are not doing the names. You guys can read all these. We're not doing the names. These men called their fellow Levites, and they all purified themselves. And some of you get all offended, like, you have to read the names. You guys act like you know these people. Don't get all offended. Come on now. Then they began to cleanse the temple of the Lord, just as the king had commanded. I can't even pronounce basic names in the chat right, let alone all these names. They were careful to follow all the instructions in their work. The priests went into the sanctuary of the temple of the Lord to cleanse it, and they took out to the temple courtyard all the defiled things they found. From there, the Levites carted it all the way to the Kidron Valley. They began to work in early spring on the first day of the new year, and in 8 days they had reached the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then they purified the temple of the Lord itself, which took another 8 days, so the entire task was completed in 16 days. Then the Levites went to King Hezekiah and gave him this report. "We have cleansed the entire temple of the Lord, the altar burnt offering with all its utensils, and the table of the bread of the presence with all its utensils. We have also recovered all the items discarded by King Ahaz when he was unfaithful and closed the temple. They are now in front of the altar of the Lord, purified and ready for use." Early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the city officials and went to the temple of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, and 7 male lambs as a burnt offering, together with 7 male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the temple, and for Judah. The king commanded the priests, who were descendants of Aaron, to sacrifice the animals on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bulls, and the priests took the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Next, they killed the rams and sprinkled their blood on the altar, and finally did the same with the male lambs. The male goats for the sin offering were then brought before the king and assembly of the people, who laid their hands on them. The priests then killed the goats as a sin offering and sprinkled their blood on the altar to make atonement for the sins of Israel. The king had specifically commanded that this burnt offering and sin offering should be made for Israel. King Hezekiah then stationed the Levites at the temple of the Lord with cymbals, lyres, and harps. He obeyed all the commands that the Lord had given to King David through Gad, the king's seer, and the prophet Nathan. The Levites then took their position around the temple with instruments of David, and the priests took their position with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah ordered the burnt offering be placed on the altar. As the burnt offering was presented, songs of praise to the Lord were begun, accompanied by the trumpets and other instruments of David, the former king of Israel. The entire assembly worshiped the Lord as the singers sang and the trumpets blew until all the burnt offerings were finished. Then the king and everyone with them bowed down in worship. King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to praise the Lord with psalms written by David and by Asaph, the seer. So they offered joyous praise and bowed down in worship. Then Hezekiah declared, "Now that you've consecrated yourselves to the Lord, bring your sacrifices and thanksgiving offerings to the temple of the Lord." If you guys know what chapter we go to, let me know in the chat. Let me see if you guys are paying attention. So the people brought their sacrifices and thanksgiving offerings, and all those whose hearts were willing brought burnt offerings too. The people brought to the Lord 70 bulls, 100 rams, 200 male lambs, 100 pieces of grilled nuggets from Chick-fil-A, 200 pieces of breaded, and 300 chicken sandwiches. They also brought 600 cattle and 3,000 sheep and goats as sacred offerings. But there were too few priests to prepare all the burnt offerings. So the relatives, the Levites, helped them until the work was finished and more priests had been purified. For the Levites had been more conscientious about purifying themselves than the priests had been. There was an abundance of burnt offerings, 35, okay, cool, along with the usual liquid offerings and a great deal of fat from the many peace offerings. So the temple of the Lord was restored to service. And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because of what God had done for the people, for everything had been accomplished so quickly. Chapter 30. King Hezekiah now sent word to all of Israel and Judah, and he wrote letters of invitation to the people of Ephraim and Manasseh. He asked everyone to come to the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover of the Lord, the God of Israel. The king, his officials, and all the community of Jerusalem decided to celebrate Passover a month later than usual. They were unable to celebrate it at the prescribed time because not enough priests could be purified by then. Then the people had not assembled, and the people had not yet assembled at Jerusalem. This plan for keeping the Passover seemed right to the king and all the people. So they sent a proclamation throughout all the land from Beersheba in the south of Dan in the north, inviting everyone to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover of the Lord, the God of Israel. The people had not been celebrating it in the great numbers as required in the law at the king's command. Runners were sent throughout Israel and Judah, and they carried letters that said, hold on, we got to read the letters here. Hold on, let me just do this right. O people of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, so that he will return the few things of us who have survived the conquest of the Assyrian kings. Do not be like your ancestors and relatives who abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and become an object of derision, as you yourselves can see. Do not be stubborn as they were, but submit yourselves to the Lord. Come to this temple, which was set apart as holy forever. Worship the Lord your God so that his fierce anger will not turn from you. For if you return to the Lord, your relatives and your children will be treated mercifully by their captors, and they will be able to return to this land, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. If you return to him, he will not continue to turn his face from you. Sorry, that last bobblehead shake was crazy. The runners went from town to town throughout Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as the territory of Zebulun. But most of the people just laughed at the runners and made fun of them. So these people are literally laughing at the messengers. However, some people from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and went to Jerusalem. At the same time, God's hand was on the people in the land of Judah, giving them all one heart to obey the orders of the king and his officials. They were following the word of the Lord. So a huge crowd assembled at Jerusalem in mid-spring to celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. They set to work and removed the pagan altars from Jerusalem. They took away all the incense altars and threw them into the Kidron Valley. On the 14th day of the second month, 1 month later than usual, the people slaughtered the Passover lamb. This shamed the priests and Levites, so they purified themselves and brought burnt offerings to the temple of the Lord. These are not for sale. A pastor gave me this one as a gift when I was preaching at their church. Let me see. That one. And then another person from the stream sent me this one to my P.O. box, which is my old school one. Which is that one. So these are, people sent me them, but I would not sell them. And they're not, I think that's just a little bit weird selling bobbleheads of yourself. That's just cringe. All right. Since many of the people had not purified themselves, the Levites had to slaughter their Passover lambs for them to set them apart. Most of those who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not purified themselves, but King Hezekiah prayed for them, and they were allowed to eat the Passover meal anyway, even though this was contrary to the requirements of the law. For Hezekiah said, "May the Lord, who is good, pardon those who decide to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors, even though they're not properly cleansed for the ceremony." And the Lord listened to Hezekiah's prayer and healed the people. So the people of Israel who were present in Jerusalem joyously celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Each day the Levites and priests sang to the Lord, accompanied by loud instruments. Hezekiah encouraged all the Levites regarding the skill they displayed as they served the Lord. The celebration continued for 7 days. Peace offerings were sacrificed, and the people gave thanks to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Excuse me. The entire assembly then decided to continue the festival another 7 days, and they celebrated joyfully another week. King Hezekiah gave the people 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep and goats for offering, and the officials donated 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep and goats. Meanwhile, many more priests purified themselves. The entire assembly of Judah rejoiced, including the priests, the Levites, and all who came from the land of Israel, the foreigners who came to festival, and all those who lived in Judah. There was great joy in the city, for Jerusalem had not seen a celebration like this since the day of Solomon, King David's son. Then the priests and Levites stood and blessed the people, and God heard their prayer from his holy dwelling in heaven. All right, here we go. Becky, we can see your post, yes. All right, chapter 31, Hezekiah's religious reforms. When the festival ended, the Israelites who attended went to all the towns of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, and they smashed all the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherah poles, and removed the pagan shrines and altars. After this, the Israelites returned to their own towns and homes. Hezekiah then organized the priests and Levites into divisions to offer the burnt offerings and peace offerings and to worship and give thanks to the Lord and praise the Lord at the temple, at the gates of the temple. The king also made a personal contribution of animals for the daily morning and evening burnt offerings, the weekly Sabbath festivals, the monthly new moon festivals, and the annual festival as prescribed in the law of the Lord. In addition, he required the people in Jerusalem to bring a portion of their goods to the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord. When people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously by bringing the first share of their grain, new wine, olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produced. The people had moved to Judah from Israel, and the people of Judah themselves brought in tithes of their cattle, sheep and goats, and a tithe of the things that had been dedicated to the Lord, their God, and they piled them in great heaps. They began piling them up in late spring, and the heaps continued to grow until early autumn. When Hezekiah and his officials came and saw the huge piles, they thanked the Lord and his people Israel. "Where did all this come from?" Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites. And Azariah, the high priest from the family of Zadok, replied, "Since the people began bringing their gifts to the Lord's temple, we've had enough to eat and plenty to spare. The Lord has blessed his people, and all this is left over." Hezekiah ordered that the storerooms be prepared in the temple of the Lord, and when this was done, the people faithfully brought all the gifts, tithes, and other items dedicated for use in the temple. The Levite was put in charge, assisted by his brother Shemaiah. The supervisors under them were Jehiel, Azaziah, Nahath, Asahel, Jeremoth, Jozabad, Eliel, Ishmaiah, Mahath, and Benaiah. These appointments were made by King Hezekiah and Azariah, the chief official in the temple of God. Kor, son of Imnah, the Levite, who was the gatekeeper at the east gate, was put in charge of distributing the voluntary offerings given to God, the gifts, and the things that had been dedicated to the Lord. His faithful assistants were Eden, Miniamin, Jeshua, Shemaiah, Amariah, and Shechaniah. They distributed the gifts among the families of priests in their own towns by their divisions, dividing the gifts fairly among the young, the old and young alike. They distributed the gifts to all the males 3 years old or older, regardless of their place in genealogical records. The distribution went to all who would come to the Lord's temple to perform their daily duties according to their divisions. They distributed gifts to the priests who were listed by family in genealogical order, and to Levites 20 years old or older who were listed according to their jobs and their divisions. Food allotments were also given to the families of all those listed in genealogical records, including their little babies, wives, sons, and daughters, for they had been faithful in purifying themselves. As for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who were living in the open villages around the town, men were appointed by name to distribute portions to every male among the priests and to all the Levites listed in genealogical records. I'm reading good today. I could feel the flow going. In this way, King Hezekiah handled the distribution throughout all Judah, doing what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. In all that he did in the service of the temple of God and in his efforts to follow God's law and commands, Hezekiah sought his God wholeheartedly. As a result, he was very successful. So yeah, if you want to be successful, just follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Sanctuary shekel. All right, chapter 32. Azariah invades Judah. We're almost there, guys. After Hezekiah had faithfully carried out his work, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified towns, giving orders for his army to break through their walls. When Hezekiah realized that Sennacherib also intended to attack Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military advisors, and they decided to stop the flow of springs outside the city. They organized a huge work crew to stop the flow of springs, cutting off the brook that ran through the fields. For they said, Why should we, the kings of Assyria, come here and find plenty of water? Then Hezekiah worked hard at repairing all the broken sections of the wall, erecting towers and constructing a second wall outside the first. He also reinforced the supporting terraces in the city of David and manufactured a large number of weapons and shields. A little manufacturer. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate. Then Hezekiah encouraged them by saying, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria or his mighty army, for there is power far greater on our side. He may have a great number, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us." Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. While King Sennacherib of Assyria was still besieging the town of Lachish, he sent officials to Jerusalem with a message for Hezekiah and all the people in the city. All right, so here comes the message. Here we go. This is what King Sennacherib of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you think that you can survive a siege in Jerusalem? Hezekiah has said, "The Lord our God will rescue us from the king of Assyria." Surely Hezekiah is misleading you, sentencing you to death by famine and thirst. Don't you realize that Hezekiah is the very first person who destroyed all the Lord's shrines and altars? He commanded Judah and Jerusalem to worship only at the altar of the temple and to sacrifice and offer sacrifices on it alone. Surely you must realize I and the other kings of Assyria before me have done all to do have done all to all the people of earth. I don't even know what's happening now. Were any of the gods of those nations able to rescue their people from my power? Which of their gods was able to rescue its people from the destructive power of my predecessors? What makes you think that God can rescue you from me? Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let him fool you like this. I say it again. No other god or nation or kingdom has ever been able to rescue you, rescue his people from me or my ancestors. How much less will your God rescue you from my power? A little headbanging for the boys. And Sennacherib's officers further mocked the Lord God and servant Hezekiah, heaping insults upon insults. Then the king also sent letters scorning the Lord, the God of Israel. He wrote, "Just as the gods of all the other nations failed to rescue their people from my power, so the God of Hezekiah will also fail." So this guy's literally sending letters to God to scorn God. How ignorant can you be to tell God and try to correct him? The Assyrian officials who brought the letter shouted this in Hebrew to the people gathered on the walls of the city, trying to terrify them, so it would be easier to capture the city. These officers talked about the God of Jerusalem as though he were one of the pagan gods made by human hands. Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, cried out in prayer to God in heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders and officers. So Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace to his own land. And when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own sons killed him there with a sword. That is how the Lord rescued Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from King Sennacherib of Assyria and from all the others who threatened him. So there was peace throughout the land. From now on, the king Hezekiah became highly respected among all the surrounding nations, and many gifts from the Lord arrived at Jerusalem with valuable presents for King Hezekiah too. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. He prayed to the Lord, who healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him, and he became proud. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Jerusalem. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's lifetime. Hezekiah was very wealthy and highly honored. He built special treasury buildings for silver, gold, and precious stones and spices, and for shields and other valuable items. He also constructed many storehouses for his grain, new wine, and olive oil, and he made many stalls for his cattle and pens for his flocks of sheep and goats. He built many towns and acquired vast flocks and herds, for God had given him great wealth. He blocked up the upper spring of Gihon and brought the water down through a tunnel to the west side of the city of David, and so he succeeded in everything he did. You can't stop laughing. Sanctuary shekel. However, when his ambassadors arrived from Babylon to ask about the remarkable events that had taken place in the land, God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him to see what was really in his heart. Let's see. The rest of the events in Hezekiah's reign and his acts of devotion are recorded in the vision of the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, which is included in the book of Kings of Judah and Israel. When Hezekiah died, he was buried in the upper area of the royal cemetery, and all Judah and Jerusalem honored him at his death. And his son Manasseh became the next king. All right, here we go. We're getting there. We're on a little marathon today, a little marathon, not a sprint. Chapter 33, Manasseh rules in Judah. I'm laughing, guys, because when I decided to do this, I didn't like test to see how long it would take me to read. And I literally told my wife, I could do it in like 20 minutes a day. She's like, I think it's going to take you a little bit longer. Listen to your wife. I was like, no, I'll get it done 20 minutes, 15 minutes a day. Jump on there, you know, 15, little 15-minute read. And we are an hour a day. Here we go. Chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. And he ran. 12 years old? I was at the skate park at 12 years old. I was trying to do a kickflip, and this guy was a king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the detestable practices of the pagan nations of the Lord had driven from the land of the Israelites. He rebuilt the pagan shrines his father Hezekiah had broken down. He constructed altars. All the work that's done, then these guys just put back all these pagan altars again. He constructed the altars for the images of Baal and set up Asherah poles. He also bowed before the powers of the heavens and worshiped them. Like, why not just worship God? He built pagan altars in the temple of the Lord, the place where the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." He also built altars for all the powers of the heavens in both courtyards of the Lord's temple. Manasseh, who's a little scoundrel, also sacrificed his own sons in the fires in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. He practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted with mediums and psychics. This guy did everything bad. I know, I couldn't believe I thought I was going to get done in 15 minutes. That's crazy. He did much that was, because when I did the 90-day Bible last year, you know, we read it on our own. I read in my head, and in my head, I could read so fast. But when you say it out loud, you got to pronunciate, and you got to, like, you can't go fast, right? Because people have to actually understand you. If I read in my head, it was like, he did much what was evil in the Lord's sight, arousing his anger. Manasseh even took a carved idol he made and set it up in the God's temple, the very place where God had told David and his son Solomon, "My name will be honored forever in this temple in Jerusalem, the city I've chosen from among all the tribes of Israel. If the Israelites be careful to obey all my commands and all the laws, decrees, and regulations." That's how I read in my head. But that's not how, you can't read like that out loud. Manasseh even took a carved idol he had made and set it up in God's temple. That's why I laugh when some of you are like, you read so fast. I'm like, I am slowing down so much as I can. The very place where God had told David and his son Solomon. All right, back to reading. Chat, you guys are distracting me. "My name will be honored forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, the city I've chosen from among all the tribes of Israel. If the Israelites will be careful to obey my commands and the law, all the laws, decrees, and regulations given through Moses, I will not send them into exile from this land I've set aside for your ancestors." But Manasseh led the people of Judah and Jerusalem to do even more evil than the pagan nations the Lord had destroyed when the people of Israel entered the land. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they ignored all his warnings. So the Lord sent the commanders of the Assyrian armies, and they took Manasseh prisoner. They put a human calculator. They put a ring through his nose, bound him in bronze chains, and led him away to Babylon. But while in deep distress, Manasseh sought the Lord his God and sincerely humbled himself before God of his ancestors. And when he prayed, the Lord listened to him, and he was moved by his request. So the Lord brought Manasseh back to Jerusalem to his kingdom. Then Manasseh finally realized that the Lord alone is God. After this, Manasseh rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David from the west of the Gihon Spring in the Kidron Valley to the Fish Gate and continuing around the hill of Ophel. He built the wall very high, and he stationed his military officers in all the fortified towns of Judah. I was going through old videos the other day. This is just a side story. And I have videos of, like, my grandfather, my grandpa Rudy, on his deathbed. He was giving us all prophetic words. We were worshiping. Like, literally, as he passed away worshiping the Lord. It was so powerful. And I was going over one of the last things he said to me before he passed away. And we were laughing because one of the last things he said, "Isaiah, you got to slow down when you preach." Everyone in the room started laughing, right? He's on his deathbed. And one of his last words to me was, "Isaiah, you got to slow down. Take a breath when you preach." So anyways, I thought I'd share that because it made me think of him when I started reading fast. He then restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thanksgiving offerings on it. He also encouraged the people of Judah to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. However, the people still sacrificed at the pagan shrines, though only to the Lord their God. The rest of the events of Manasseh's reign, his prayer to God, and the words the seer spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. Manasseh's prayer, the account of the way God answered him, and the account of all his sins and unfaithfulness, that's a nice thing to record, are recorded in the record of the seers. It includes a list of the locations where he built pagan shrines and set up Asherah poles and idols before he humbled himself and repented. When Manasseh died, he was buried in his palace. Then his son Amon became the next king. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his father. Only a little 2-year reign, that's it. A little naughty boy there, 2 years. Oh, wait. Yeah, 2 years. Wow, that was a short. That's short. Manasseh had done. Oh, wait. He did just as his father Manasseh had done. He worshipped and sacrificed to the idols his father had made. But unlike his father, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Instead, Amon sinned even more. Then Amon's own officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. I mean, this guy got this much. These guys got chapters. This guy got this much because he was evil. The people of the land killed all those who had conspired against King Amon, and they made his son Josiah the next king. And we know Josiah is a good guy. How's his father so wicked? How's his father so wicked? Chapter 34. Josiah rules in Judah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the examples of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. During the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, Josiah began to seek the Lord, the God of his ancestor David. Then in the 12th, I haven't seen that word in a long time. In the 12th year, I don't know why that's so hard to say. He began to purify Judah and Jerusalem, destroying all the pagan shrines, the Asherah poles, and carved idols and cast images. He ordered that the altars of Baal be demolished and that the incense altars which stood above them be broken down. He also made sure that the Asherah poles, the carved idols, the cast images, all the McDonald's were smashed and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the pagan priests on their altars, and he purified Judah and Jerusalem of all the fast food. I'm just kidding. Just making sure you're paying attention. He did the same thing in the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, even as far as Naphtali and in the regions all around them. He destroyed the pagan altars and the Asherah poles, and he crushed the idols into dust. He cut down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. Finally, he returned to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of his reign, he had purified the land and the temple. Josiah appointed Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Messiah, the governor of Jerusalem, and Joah, son of Johaz, the royal historian, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They give Hilkiah, the high priest, the money that had been collected by the Levites who served as gatekeepers at the temple of God. The gifts were brought... Sorry, I got distracted by the chat. I was reading something. The gifts were brought by the people from Manasseh, Ephraim, and from all the remnant of Israel, as well as from Judah, Benjamin, and all the people of Jerusalem. He entrusted the money the men assigned to supervise the restoration of the Lord's temple. Then they paid the workers who did the repairs and renovation of the temple. They hired carpenters and builders who purchased finished stone for the walls and timbers, for rafters and beams. They restored what earlier kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. The workers served faithfully under the leadership of Jahath and Obadiah, Levites of the Merarite clan, and Zechariah and Meshullam, Levites of the Kohathite clan, other Levites, and all whom were skilled musicians, were put in charge of laborers and various trades. Still others assisted as secretaries, officials, and gatekeepers. While they were bringing out the money collected at the Lord's temple, Hilkiah, the priest, found the book of the Lord of the law that was written by Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the court secretary, "I found the book of the law in the Lord's temple." Then Hilkiah gave the scroll to Shaphan. Shaphan took the scroll. So he found a scroll that was in the temple that was all completely like in ruins. He finds the scroll and opens the scroll that has been hidden for years. He reported, "Your officials are doing everything they were assigned to do. The money that was collected at the temple of the Lord has been turned over to the supervisors and workmen." Shaphan also told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me the scroll." So Shaphan read it to the king. When the king heard what was written in the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Then he gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the court secretary, and Asaiah, the king's personal advisor. "Go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me and for all the remnant of Israel and Judah. Inquire about the words written in the scroll that has been found. For the Lord's great anger has been poured out on us because our ancestors have not obeyed the word of the Lord. We have not been doing everything the scroll says we must do." So Hilkiah and the other men went to the new quarter of Jerusalem to consult with the prophet Huldah. She was the wife of Shalem, son of Tikva, son of Harhas, the keeper of the temple wardrobe. She said to them, "The Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. Go back and tell the men who sent you. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on the city and its people. All the curses written in the scroll that was read to the king of Judah will come true. For my people have abandoned me and offered sacrifices to pagan gods, and I'm very angry with them for everything they've done. My anger will be poured out in this place, and it'll not be quenched. But go to the king of Judah who sent you to seek the Lord and tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the message you've just heard. You were sorry and humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against the city and its people. You humbled yourself and tore your clothes in despair and wept before me in repentance. And I've indeed heard you, says the Lord. So I will not send the promised disaster until after you've died and been buried in peace. You yourselves will not see the disaster I'm going to bring on the city and its people. So they took their message back to the king. Then the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and Levites and all the people from the greatest to the least. Their kings read them the entire book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. The king took his place of authority besides the temple and renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. He pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, laws, and decrees with all his heart and soul. He promised to obey all the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll. And he required everyone in Jerusalem and all the people of Benjamin to make a similar pledge. The people of Jerusalem did so, renewing their covenant with God, the God of their ancestors. So Josiah removed all the detestable idols from the entire land of Israel and required everyone to worship the Lord their God. And throughout the rest of the lifetime, the rest of his lifetime, they did not turn away from the Lord, the God of their ancestors. All right, here we go. We're there. Chapter 35. I could taste victory here. Oh, it's a long boy. All right, here we go. We're almost there. Chapter 35. Josiah celebrates Passover. Then Josiah announced that the Passover of the Lord would be celebrated in Jerusalem. And so the Passover lamb was slaughtered in the 14th day of the first month. Josiah also assigned the priests to their duties and encouraged them in their work at the temple of the Lord. He issued this order to the Levites who were to teach all of Israel who had been set apart to serve the Lord. Put the holy ark in the temple that was built by Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. You no longer need to carry it back and forth on your shoulders. Now spend your time serving the Lord your God and his people Israel. Report for duty according to the family divisions of your ancestors, following the directions of King David for Israel and the directions of his son Solomon. Then stand in the sanctuary at the place appointed for your family division and help the families assigned you as they bring their offerings to the temple. Slaughter the Passover lamb, purify yourselves, and prepare to help those who have come. Follow all the directions the Lord gave through Moses. Then Josiah provided 30,000 lambs and young goats for the people's Passover offerings, along with 3,000 cattle, all from the king's own flocks and herds. I just cannot tell you enough how much I can't wait to get to other books, you know, like Proverbs, stuff like that. Just a little change up. The king's officials also made willing contributions to the people, priests, and Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, the administrators of God's temple, gave the priests 2,600 lambs and young goats and 300 cattle as Passover offerings. The Levite leaders, Kenaniah and his brothers Shemaiah and Nathanael, as well as Hashabiah eats hasher brownas, Jael and Jozabad gave 5,000 lambs and young goats and 500 cattle to the Levites for their Passover offerings. When everything was ready for the Passover celebration, the priests and Levites took their place, organized by their divisions, and the king had commanded. The Levites then slaughtered the Passover lambs and presented the blood to the priests, who sprinkled the blood on the altar while the Levites prepared the animals. They divided the burnt offerings among the people by their family groups so they could offer them to the Lord as prescribed in the book of Moses. They did the same with the cattle. When they roasted the Passover lambs as prescribed, and they boiled the holy offerings in pots, kettles, and pans, and they brought them out quickly so the people could eat them. Afterward, the Levites prepared Passover offerings for themselves and for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, because the priests had been busy from morning till night offering the burnt offerings and the fat portions. The Levites took responsibility for all these preparations. The musicians, descendants of Asaph, were in assigned places, following the commands that had been given by David, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer. The gatekeepers guarded the gates and did not need to leave their posts for duty. Their Passover offerings were prepared for them by their fellow Levites. The entire ceremony for the Lord's Passover was completed that day. All the burnt offerings were sacrificed on the altar of the Lord, as King Josiah had commanded. All the Israelites presented in Jerusalem celebrated Passover and the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Never since the time of the prophet Samuel had there been such a Passover. None of the kings of Israel had ever kept a Passover as Josiah did, involving all the priests and Levites and all the people of Jerusalem and all the people from Judah and Israel. This Passover was celebrated in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. After Josiah had finished restoring the temple, King Necho of Egypt led his army from Egypt to do battle at Carchemish on the Euphrates River, and Josiah and his army marched out to fight him. But King Necho sent messengers to Josiah with this message. What do you want with me, king of Judah? I have no quarrel with you today. I am on my way to fight another nation, and God has told me to hurry. Do not interfere with God, who is with me. He will destroy you. But Josiah refused to listen to Necho, to whom God indeed spoken. And he would not turn back. Instead, he disguised himself as his lead. Oh, man, we've read this like 3 times. And led his army into battle on the plain of Megiddo. But the enemy archers hit King Josiah with their arrows and wounded him. He cried out to his men, "Take from me the battle, for I'm badly wounded." So then they lifted Josiah out of his chariot and placed him on another chariot. Then they brought him back to Jerusalem where he died. He was buried in the royal cemetery, and all of Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. The prophet, this is literally the third time we've read this. The prophet Jeremiah composed funeral songs for Josiah, and to this day, the choir still sing these sad songs about his death. These songs of sorrow have become a tradition and are recorded in the Book of Laments. The rest of the events of Josiah's reign and his acts of devotion from beginning to end, are carried out according to what was written in the law of the Lord. From beginning to end are all recorded in the Book of the Kings of Israel and Judah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have finished day 34. Praise the Lord. We are done with day 34. I appreciate every single one of you for being here in the chat, for hanging out with me, for distracting me. I like to be distracted. It's fine. It's all good. We have a lot of reading, so it's good to break it up. Sometimes it just gets, it's a lot of reading, so it's good to get distracted. Thank you guys for hanging in there. It's been great. It's been fun. This is fun. I'm glad it's fun. All right. Every single day, we're live at 2. Let's see. What's today? Today's Thursday. Okay, so we'll be live Monday night, obviously Tuesday night with the podcast, and then every day at 2 o'clock. Every day at 2. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, mods. If you want to support the channel, you can. My wife is doing much better. Thank you guys for asking. You can support the channel in the description or on screen. Any of these links, you can give one time, you can give monthly. I apologize to those of you that were at the prayer call. Jared ran the prayer call, which was, I'm sure, awesome. It was probably even better than when I run it. We have had no refrigerator. We have not had a working refrigerator for almost a month. It's been like temperatures up, down. I had it fixed a bunch of times. Long story short, we had to buy a new one. We bought a new one. The company has taken over a month to deliver it, which I'll never buy from them again. And so today I was getting ready for the prayer call, and I got a text message. After a month, I've been calling them waiting. It's been already delivered at the location. All we've been waiting for is just them to bring it to our house. After a month, they text me saying, tomorrow your thing will be delivered. So I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, plus I have an interview in the morning. Plus all this other stuff. So we have plans tonight. We're leaving. So anyways, long story short, I had to get our other freezer moved out and other things, and so I wasn't able to make the prayer call. I say all that to say I wasn't able to make the prayer call, but thank you, Jared, for running it. Yeah, my voice is getting better. God bless you all. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. What goes on in your mind when you see people run up to you on stage? Oh, what do you mean? When do they run up to me? Yeah, all the Zoom prayer call info is on your perks tab. If you are a monthly member on YouTube or on my website, if you're on my website, I email you the link. If you're on YouTube, go to the perks tab and the links are there. The time might be wrong. I think I need to fix it. It probably says 1:30. But yeah. What company? Let me just make sure I have the right name so I don't like accidentally say something bad about the other company. The company is AJ Madison. They're a huge appliance store. We needed a special one because it fits in this like cabinet thing we have. Anyways, don't go to AJ Madison. Although they have great reviews, they've taken a month. So yeah, just all bad. All right, I love you all. I will see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. God bless you guys. Have a great day. I'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Love you all. Thanks for the support. You're all awesome. Thank you for all the love. I'll see you guys in Georgia. Oh, yeah, I'll be in Georgia next weekend, March 16th, Sunday morning, 10 a.m., Sunday night, 6 p.m. If you're in Georgia area, I'll be in North Georgia, Dawsonville specifically, for the North Georgia Revival, so you don't want to miss that. 10 times better than the Bible app reading it. Thank you. Yeah, the Bible app's just too monotone to me and boring. It's just too hard. Yeah, I do need to give them a 1-star review for real. Well, yeah, I called them and complained, and they never called me back, and it's just annoying. It's annoying, especially because it was a very expensive fridge and freezer. But yeah, it was the only one that we could get. If you're like, well, why would you buy from there? Well, one, they had good reviews. Two, it was the only place that carried the fridge and freezer we need that fits the cabinet that's been built for it. Anyway, more details than you need to know or probably care about. But love you all. Thank you, guys. Don't shop at AJ Madison.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.